Well, thanks for joining me. Let's pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. All right. Thank you for your support last week. If you're just joining me, again, we had a record-setting pledge drive, and your generosity was not just merciful. It was beyond generous. It really was. And we're so grateful for everything you've been able to do for us. And just let's pray in Thanksgiving today. I want to pray for you and for your needs. We'll ask God to lift the crosses of your life, the difficulties that you're enduring, and to return in a special way your prayers and your sacrifices and your blessings. Ask God really to just open the coffers of heaven and shower you with grace and healing and everything you're asking. I'm going to pray for those who could not afford to give last pledge drive, those who are really struggling financially, those who are really broken today and can't even pray. And I know what it's like to be on your knees where things are so bad, you just can't do anything. You can't pray. And that's what we're here for. We'll pray for you, and we're here for you. I'm in studio with Christine Flood. She's one of my great colleagues here. Chris, always good to pray with you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Anything you want to lift up or start off with?
I would like to pray for a special intention for my grandson, Nolan.
Nolan. All right. We'll pray for Nolan right now. Let's begin as we do every day. Before I do, a lot of prayer intentions came in here today, and I did tell a few people I would pray for them, so let me get it to air here very quickly. This is a serious one. Could you add a divine mercy request today for a father of 10 going on a ventilator today with very serious COVID-induced pneumonia? I certainly will. It'll lift him up in a big-time way. So he's asked your prayer warriors to pray for him. His family needs him. We'll pray for them. I want to pray for those struggling with their businesses, those in times of transition. I want to pray for a friend of mine, a guy named Juan, who I had the privilege of seeing over the weekend. And Juan, I've been praying for you. We'll continue to do that. You hang in there. Pray for your great business. Carol called in through the pledge line, and we prayed for her last week, but I want to revisit this because it breaks my heart. She married her husband when she was 19 years of age. He left her for another woman and married this other woman, and she's just in total suffering right now. She feels very, very alone, and she's asking us to pray for the conversion of her husband. All right, so we'll do that. Oh, my heart, that just can't imagine drinking from that bitter cup. Another person, I want to thank Lisa and Tim. They asked me if we could pray for their sister-in-law, Valerie, who is battling a multiple myeloma, and we'll do that. And Lisa and Tim, thanks for your support. I know you guys donated last week, and remember your names, and thank you for your generosity. And I want to pray for all the intentions that we have coming in here. Maggie will share some of them on the air today, too. But let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call today. Maria has been waiting to join us. She's in Los Angeles County, California. Hi, Maria. Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, Drew. My petitions are, and the first one is for Kate, that she has a fast recovery from open heart surgery with no complications. The second is for Martha. She is in need of healing from a stroke and the neurological and visual problems resulting from it, and she needs healing of memories. The third is my mother-in-law, that she has peace of mind. She has nightmares every night and during the day when she sleeps. This has been going on for quite a while, and that the Lord is will release her from these nightmares, and she has peace of mind, though she's a very strong-minded person, and also for my own personal intentions.
All right, we'll lift all those up. Maria, thank you for calling, and
put it
in merciful hands of our Lord. And I just pray for her friend's recovery from open-heart surgery, and anybody who's dealing with coronary problems, anyone recovering now from surgery, anyone facing upcoming surgery, we pray for her family members' health and for all the intentions, especially her personal ones that she voiced. And Lord, I bring along with Maria all those today who are crying out to you, who have needs, physical needs, financial, spiritual, and emotional needs. And I just ask today, in a special way, that grace flow. I thank you for the crosses of life, and I also thank you for how you hear these prayers. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Bill is praying in Rockledge, Florida. Hi, Bill. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you. I'd like to pray for my best friend from Phoenix, Mike. I've known him for over 30 years. And at 52, he's been diagnosed with prostate cancer. They're going to remove the prostate this Wednesday. And I just want to pray that the surgery goes well and that he recovers 100%.
Amen. I'll join you in that. I had a friend that just went through prostate surgery as well. So I want to pray for all men and all women right now that are waiting their test results to see whether or not, the biopsy or the results indicate cancer. I know that can be a frightening window of time. I want to pray for those who are having mastectomies or surgeries, prostate surgery, anyone with cancer. Lord, I just pressed prostate, whatever it may be. I give you this wretched disease that takes so many lives. I pray for healing. I pray that the medicines, the technologies, the treatments you've given take effect. And Lord, if it be your will also, I just ask for divine and miraculous healing. And I always put that to the front of the list because with a single touch, Lord, you can bring total restoration. And I thank you for that. So I pray for Bill and his personal needs. I pray for his friend. And I pray for all those now fighting these debilitating diseases and that need your divine touch. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Maggie is, of course, watching Twitter for us. I know a lot of you have written to me, know that you're being prayed for, and if you're putting it up on Twitter as well, Maggie sometimes is able to share your intentions online with us. So let me go to Brian and Lisa and everyone else. I'll grab your calls in a quick second. But Maggie, what's coming in? What do we need to pray for?
Drew, we got a couple heartbreaking messages from someone named Rochelle. She says, please pray for an Afghan family that I know. Najib and his wife and children are in hiding in fear in Kabul. Please pray that they have an opportunity to get out of Kabul and that their visas are approved. So let's storm heaven for that one. Annalisa is asking for prayers for Roy. He will be having a colonoscopy tomorrow, praying that everything will come out normal. Also asking prayers for our church, our nation, and for family and friends. And Cheryl's asking for prayers for her son, who's having difficulty with his boss. We've had a couple of messages asking for spiritual conversion within families. And then Tim wrote asking for prayers for Brianna in Texas. She was in a car accident recently.
Wow. Yeah, that's always frightening. You don't know what's going to happen, right? You wake up healthy one day and tragedy could strike. Let's lift up all those intentions, and we will add Brian, who's in Kentucky, Louisville, to our third decade here. Hi, Brian. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you. Yes, I'd like for you all to pray for my stepfather, Phil Robinson. He had a massive blood clot in his brain back on October 19th. The surgery went well, but he's been in intensive care, and he hasn't been able to wake up. And he now has complications from that major massive stroke. He has sepsis and also a bacterial pneumonia. And it looks like it's taken a turn for the worse. My mom is going through a difficult time having to make the decision regarding a hospice. So I appreciate your prayers this day.
Brian, we're with your family. I'm sorry to hear that, brother. We will pray for
your
stepfather and especially for your mother, your poor mom. Lord, I just pray right now for everything Brian voiced, along with all the intentions Maggie voiced. And pray for those. Again, you don't know the day or the hour. Here, a massive stroke, right? A blood clot on the brain, surgery. So unexpected and how these things can snowball in a negative direction. You are the divine physician. And we turn to you, Jesus, and we just ask you to bring healing to all those seeking it right now. I turn to you, merciful Father, the intentions of my heart. You know the things I voice to you every day. And I unite my intentions to all who are now praying with me. Hear our prayers as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Lisa has been waiting to join us. She's praying with us in Chino, California. Hi, Lisa. Good afternoon.
Hi. I'm going to make it kind of short. I lost my mom. And I lost my car, and I lost my appointment for my Social Security. I just want all that just to come back to me because I'm giving up.
I'm sorry. Lisa, I really am. I just, do me a favor, don't give up, okay? Don't. Stay the course. And the fact that you called me today means that you don't want to give up. You know, I've gone through very difficult times in my own life where I almost lost everything I had to, and I was just wondering why God was stripping me of all of these things. And a friend of mine said to me at that time, he says, "Drew," and I said, I'm praying, but God doesn't hear my prayers. He doesn't hear me. Maybe he doesn't exist. You know, maybe I began to doubt the reality that prayer had any impact. And he said to me, he says, "Drew, it's at moments like that that your voice resounds the loudest before the throne of God. God hears you. He's the closest to you in this moment, Lisa." And I want you to stay the course because we're here for you. And I know when you're like that, sometimes it's hard to pray. I had another friend who was going through really difficult times. He said, "I just can't pray." And that's okay because we're here for you. It's never pleasant to suffer. We'll pray for you. No one likes to suffer. But there's a power and there's a merit in enduring our crosses. And if we do it with love, our prayer is amplified. And you grow in holiness. When you suffer, you know, it'll transform your landscapes. The saints understood this, right? You begin to, when you embrace the cross, you begin to find joy in everything. It's a whole new way of approaching life because God has a plan for you. He does. You know, the great St. John Paul II, he once said this. He said, you know, it's suffering more than anything else which clears the way for grace, which transforms the human soul. So you're in a special place right now. I mean, you're in a terrible place. I can't imagine the loss of your mother. I know what it's like to lose a mom. I went through it recently. It's painful. To lose your car, have it stolen, to have all these other things happen to you. I know it's hard, but when your life is joined to Christ, I'm telling you, trust me on this, everything changes. You know, our Lord appeared to St. Faustina, and he told her, he says, look, suffering is the greatest treasure on earth. And God will never try you beyond what you're able to suffer. That what you're enduring now is a grace. And that by walking the walk, by carrying the cross, your soul will become more like Jesus. In fact, St. Faustina once had this vision where she saw the Lord nailed to a cross. And he hung on it for a while, and he was in agony. It was horrible. And she saw a multitude of souls crucified just like him. And then she saw a second multitude of souls, and then a third. And the second multitude were not nailed to their crosses. They were just holding them, kind of in their hands. The third weren't even nailed, nor were they holding the cross. They were just dragging it behind them with discontent. And Jesus said to St. Faustina, he said, you see these souls? He says, those who are like me in pain and suffering, they'll also be like me in glory. And those who resemble me less in pain and contempt will also bear less resemblance to me in glory. So I just want to leave you with this thought as I pray for you now. Unimaginable glory awaits the person that resembles the suffering of Jesus on earth. And if you are suffering right now, I know many people are calling to pray for their sufferings, for their crosses. The person who resembles Jesus in his suffering, you will resemble him in his glory. The Father, he says, will recognize and glorify your soul to the extent that he sees his son in you. So, Lord, right now I pray for Lisa. I know where she's at, and my heart goes out to her. And I ask you, send her graces. You give her fortitude. You change her landscape. But I pray for everyone right now who is carrying these crosses, that we may embrace them and be like you, that we may see the fruit of our suffering and our faith and our love for you. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. And Lisa, one final thing. Noah, your family's praying for you. We're all praying for one another here, and there's a lot of prayer going your way. And I promise I'll continue to pray for you. Francis in San Francisco, thank you for calling. Good afternoon.
Drew, it's Francis from Walk for Life West Coast team again, thanking you because one of our friends in the team, her brother was released from the hospital with COVID, but we did lose a family member's dad. Unfortunately, we lost him on Holy Soul morning, and now the wife is in her third week on her face in the ICU. She's now had a lung collapse, and she's now septic. And they need to do dialysis, and they need to flip her over in order to get that tube in her, and they're afraid her oxygen will drop. So we're just begging through the intercession of Blessed Solanus Casey, begging for a miracle for both Solanus and Carol, who is fighting for her life and who has been listed in very grave danger.
Wow.
So we thank our family out in the world, all of our prayer warriors. My friend is beside herself. She had her sister in critical, her dad who she lost, and now her mom, all in 1 week. So please, please, I'm begging for prayers.
No, you got it. And thank you for your good work. It's good to have you here with us. And thank you for calling for prayer. Lord, I just pray for all those in grave danger right now. I pray for those approaching death. And I ask that you meet them as a merciful Savior. But I also pray for healing. I pray for miracles. I pray for mercy. I pray for the woman contemplating abortion. And I really want to pray for those who've made the mistake of abortion, that they just find the healing and the reconciliation that they so desperately need, Lord, that they can forgive themselves and know your love. Pray for that person wanting to harm themselves now, contemplating suicide. I'm going to pray for the person bound in the chain of addiction, those who are in impure relationships and abusing the gift of their sexuality. I want to pray for those who do not believe in you, Lord, and those most in need of your mercy, especially the souls in purgatory. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God. Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
All you holy souls in purgatory,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There's such a power in our united prayer. I mean, I know God is so pleased with this prayer, and he hears it. He hears your prayers. He hears your cries. Do me a favor, because I know God is answering prayers. Email me, drew@relevantradio.com, and in the byline, just write an answered prayer. And then share that answer, how you prayed for the person in the hospital and they were let go, or how the finances were resolved, or how the legal case got thrown out, or the relationship was now on the mend. Send them to me, drew@relevantradio.com. Just put in the byline answered prayer and tell me how this prayer has worked, has brought results, because I know it does. And let's continue to pray for so many of our brothers and our sisters who we heard here today, especially those who are in really difficult situations. And you just need help. They need prayer. They need you. They need their family. All right? So we'll pray together every day at this time. Mark your calendar and set your watch and be sure and tell others about this. This is an extraordinarily beautiful and powerful prayer. All right? And know that I'm praying for you. I continue to do that, and please pray for me. All right? I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, we got a lot to talk about, so stay with me.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, I am traveling to the Holy Land in February with our underwriting sponsor, Nativity Pilgrimage. Information is available at relevantradio.com/Holy Land. That's relevantradio.com/Holy Land.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Oh, yeah, we are family. Giant thank you to you, my family. And I mean that. I hear some people say that, oh, we're family. No, we are family. I feel so connected to you. You know why we're family? It's more than just spending 3 hours a day together, you and me. It's the fact that we pray for each other. I mean, that chapel of Divine Mercy is just so intimate. I just love being able to pray with you and for you. And I am just so grateful for your prayers. I mean that. And I want to thank you for the time we spend together. I want to thank you for your support. Family sticks together. Family supports one another. I come from an Italian family, of course, and the bonds are often pretty strong, right? Every family has strong bonds. At least I hope they do. I know that we may not meet. I know we may be separated by, geographical distances. We may only spend a few hours together. But maybe you and I spend more time together than we do with our own family. I think about that sometimes. You know, you go to work or we spend time together here on the air. We might spend more time. You might be listening in the car at work than you do, you know, I don't know, your daughter-in-law, your son-in-law, your cousin, your brother, your sister, your kids. I mean, it really is true when you think about it. And I'm glad to be part of your afternoons. I really am. I'm glad you're part of mine. And I just want to say thank you to anybody who has supported Relevant Radio in our last week's Pleasure Hour. Our goal was $2.75 million, right? $2.7 million. That's a lot of money. And in a tough economy, as I was saying, I'm thinking, man, it's going to be a battle. But I know God will give us what we need. And he did. I mean, you are instrumental in this. We did over $3 million. I think the last call report I saw, we were 3.4. And again, you know, door's still open. You can still pledge if you want to at 877-291-0123. If you missed it, you can still help us. But I mean, that superseded my wildest expectations. We had such a great early part of the week. And then I thought, oh, man, how's this going to wrap up? But the generosity was there. But you know what it says? To me, I sit back and I'm a cultural observer. You know, I consume all things. I consume media. I'm constantly immersed in news because I have to be. I need to be able to bring you up to speed on the latest issues of the day. But I also want to give you a moral perspective on those issues. I also want to shine the light of our faith on those issues to help you navigate some of the very deceptive and confusing challenges of the day. You know, so I'm there and I'm thinking to myself, yeah, the economy's going to be tough. This is going to be hard. I see what's happening with everything from, you know, the backup at our ports to the lack of drivers to the rising cost of life. And, man, it's going to be hard. But you know what was a lesson for me? It really was God's providence. What this said to me was, you value Relevant Radio. You appreciate Relevant Radio. And you understand how important it is to bringing Christ to a culture. Because that's the only thing that will change this country. I heard at the very top of my show today, I had a little trouble getting on the air. The network had a little trouble connecting to my producer. And I heard, I think it was Meg Meeker, one of my physician friends that are on the air. And they said, you know, how do you navigate the problems of this life? And what's the solution? You have to stay close to the sacraments. That's what you do. And I was struck by that because I'm sure I heard it when she said it, but it resonated with me today. What's the answer? What's the solution? How do we remedy the problems of the world? It begins with you and me. It doesn't begin with the president or Congress or anybody that we elect. It begins with you and me. Our hearts have got to be converted. We have to fulfill our duties as parents. You know, we educate our children properly. As citizens, being virtuous, being honorable, being noble, right? And fulfilling our duty, having a good work ethic, right? It comes down to us. And our faith is what animates a lot of this. It's Jesus Christ that will heal the racist division that many claim that are out there. It'll heal, you know, the confusion over human sexuality. It'll heal the wounds of abortion. It'll heal this contraceptive mentality. It'll heal so many of the different problems that we have in our culture today. And as a Catholic, I'm delighted. I praise God. I'm not a revert, and I am not a convert to the faith. I have a lot of respect for anyone who is. I'm just, by the grace of God, I was born into my Catholic faith. And I have the sacraments. I've had the sacraments my entire life. If you're away from the faith, I invite you to come home. If you're a Catholic, come back. Check it out. You're going to be glad you did. If you're not Catholic, and you think, man, I've been listening to Relevant Radio, and everything you guys say, I think is pretty much on point, check us out. You know, why not? And tap into the greatest gift that Jesus Christ has given the world. And that's the Eucharist. Right? It's the source and it is the summit of our faith. There's nothing more precious. As a Catholic, you also have that powerful and beautiful sacrament of reconciliation. You have the sacramental life of the church. And I was struck by whoever said that. Man, stay close to the sacraments. That's the answer. That's the answer. And prayer. I don't want to diminish that at all because I think if you don't pray, I mean, prayer is to the soul what oxygen is to the body. And if you're not praying, your prayer life, your soul is going to starve. And that's how you get lost. That's how you go blind. You know, you cut off someone's oxygen. You know, you can cause blindness, right? Certainly, we're going to see the same thing if you're asphyxiated spiritually. There's real consequences to that. So Make sure you pray as well. But anyway, I'm going off on a tangent here. Thank you for your support. Thanks for saying yes. You gave me a lot of hope. When I see these pledge drives and the success we have, you give me a lot of hope. I have great hope for the future. I know a lot of people are really worried about where we're going. And if you watch the news, yeah, I don't blame you. You know, it's really easy to say, oh, my gosh, you know, what does this mean? And how long are we going to endure? The reality is God can change things in an instant. He can. And I think of the people of Nineveh who amended their ways, you know, how they converted and how God blessed. And I see us in a similar path. I really do. I think it's time for us to live for Christ. You don't know the day, the hour that God's going to take you home. It is also the month of souls, and I want to get you plugged into something special. Father Rocky's going to be joining me in a few minutes here. And I want to tell you about something that, you know, he's been willing to do, and I really want to credit him for this and really Relevant for it. It's one of the gifts that Relevant can give back. There's been something like 450,000 names that have come in just the past couple weeks. And I added probably 15 or 20 of those names. Relevant Radio said, starting on All Souls Day, which was the 2nd of November, all the way up to November the 11th, that we would every day pray for somebody that you have that has passed away. Not just one. Maybe it's your mom. Maybe it's your dad. Maybe it's your sibling. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a friend or a coworker. Maybe it's somebody you knew years ago. Maybe it's somebody you served with, right? Every day we will pray not only for them before the Blessed Sacrament, but masses will be offered. That is the most powerful and efficacious thing you can do for a soul. And then every afternoon at 3, we'll pray the chaplet. Every evening at 7 Central, they'll pray the rosary for them. And this is a 9-day novena for your loved one in purgatory. And look, I'm not a saint. I try to be. I'm working on my own sanctity. But believe me, I have shortcomings. I so often forget about my angelic companion. And I also forget about those who've gone before me. I used to pray all the time and have masses offered all the time for the souls in purgatory. You know how life gets. You get busy, and these things fade into the distance of your memory, you know, of your day. You know, other things seem to shine a little brighter, right? And that becomes a shadow. Here's the deal. If you've made the same mistake that I have, here's a great opportunity to have 9 masses offered for your loved ones. You know, here's an opportunity to have chaplets prayed and rosaries prayed, and it's free. All you have to do is go to relevantradio.com/souls. relevantradio.com/souls, and of course we'll pray for you. I mean, I have my loved ones up there right now. Yeah, let me just talk to you about the power of the Mass. And this is something that, you know, you probably may never have been taught before. John Paul II, back in 2004, he convoked the Year of the Eucharist. I don't know if you remember that. It went all the way up through October of 2005, and it was an opportunity for us to really focus on the Eucharist. Coming up next year and in the years ahead, I think there's going to be this renewal of devotion to the Eucharist. It is such a treasure. It is such a power source, right? It's something that we do ourselves a disservice by when we don't frequent that sacrament. And we also really do a disservice to our loved ones who cannot pray for themselves, who have died, because we can have masses offered. You know, the church suffering is what they call the purgatorial souls, right? And they are waiting for you. They're waiting for you to help them reach heaven, to join the church triumphant is what they call those who've made it, right? So you got to remember that the church suffering, it can benefit in a great way, you know, especially this time of year. You have the power and you have the privilege of giving them paradise. How can I do that, Drew? That's ridiculous. I have no power. What can I do, right? It's so simple. It's ridiculous. First of all, I just told you one of the ways you can do it. Sign them up for this novena, 9 masses and chaplets and rosaries. But this is what I would do. As a young kid, as a young man, I graduated college, was starting my career, and I was broke as a joke, right? You know, the expenses you had. I had student loans, living costs, and all. But even when I had nothing, I would go to local churches, and this is not any credit for me. It's just an invitation to you. I'd have masses offered for the souls in purgatory, for souls I didn't even know, right? For those souls languishing, for those who, you know, how many of our Protestant brothers and sisters never pray for the deceased? They don't believe in purgatory. I mean, how full is purgatory of these souls needing prayers? Thank God for the merits of the church, because they praise for all the souls there, right? Maybe your loved one you've never prayed for. They've died, and you've never prayed for them. One of the things you can do, and this is the most efficacious, the most powerful thing you can do, you can have the Holy Mass celebrated for them. It will deliver these souls that are languishing in purgatory. There's nothing more powerful than the Mass. The Holy Eucharist is the source. It is the summit of our faith. It is the highest act of worship. It is the highest form of prayer, and it surpasses every prayer, every prayer. I remember reading one time during the celebration of Mass in the Church of St. Paul in Trefontaine, it's near Rome, St. Bernard, he was given this vision, and he saw this unending stairway, and he said it led up to heaven. And he said by means of it, you know, there were many angels. He says they were ascending and descending. And he saw them carrying from purgatory to paradise souls that were freed by the sacrifice of Jesus, freed by the sacrifice of the Mass, which is the unbloody sacrifice of Christ on Calvary, right? Every time a Mass is celebrated, that's what happens in all the altars of the world. You know, we often hear, oh, you know, the souls of this person are certainly in heaven. You know, oh, that person was a saint. Please don't ever say that about me. If I drive home tonight and I die in a car accident, if I have an aneurysm or a heart attack, if somebody waiting for me in the parking lot puts a bullet in my head, please don't say, oh, he was such a good man. He's so holy. He's in heaven. Please, for the love of God, pray for me. I mean it. Pray for me. I need your prayers. I go to these funerals so often, and people canonize their loved ones. And I understand it. You miss them, you love them. I believe me, I get it. I get it. I mean, my mother, I consider a saint. You know, I can't imagine her not being in heaven. But believe me, she probably had her shortcomings too and her own foibles and flaws and had to be right with God. You know, so I pray for her. And we need to do that for our loved ones. You know, these souls are like, they're like the sick man. Somebody once said, and this was such a great example somebody once said to me about purgatorial souls. They said they're like the sick man who waited many, many weary years at the pool of Bethesda just for someone to help him get into those healing waters. He just wanted to be healed. Nobody would heal him. Nobody would help him, right? And he'd cry, and we have no one to help us, right? And we long for the precious blood of Jesus. That's what these souls are saying right now. They're crying out to you. St. Jerome, who is one of the greatest doctors of the church, he said that as a result of every Mass, which is celebrated devoutly, right? If you go to Mass and you really pray deeply and heartily and from the soul, many souls are released. And that the holy souls feel no pain at all during the celebration of Mass. You know, in purgatory, St. Faustina, and a lot of the great saints who had these visions, who've gone to the afterlife and have seen heaven, hell, and purgatory, they talk about these degrees of suffering in purgatory. And I guess the closer you are to expiation, the closer you are to paradise, the less, diminished your suffering is. But, you know, you might have some real purgation to do. You might have some real attachments to things that you shouldn't have. And there's a suffering in that. There really is. There's a pain in that. But St. Jerome said that during the Mass, holy souls feel no pain during the celebration of Mass. That if the priest prays for them in offering the sacrifice, it's very likely they could be freed or the purgation mitigated, but they don't feel the pain during the celebration of Mass. St. Augustine, another great church father, right? He taught that the holy souls from whom the priest prays, you know, if you have Masses offered, let's say I go and I have a Mass offered for my dad or my mom or for somebody that has passed on before me. He says when a priest prays during the Holy Mass, they feel no torment during the duration of the Holy Mass. So think of the blessing you give to your loved one. Maybe it's that son of yours that died in that motorcycle accident. Maybe it's that loved one that died, you know, OD'd. Maybe it's somebody who was battling cancer and still was holding on to some unforgiveness or something else. I don't know what happens at the moment of death. But I do think that purgatory is a tremendous grace, that purgatory is a tremendous blessing. It's a state of God's mercy, really. Lord says he didn't want purgatory. And so he told St. Faustina, I don't want this. He saw the suffering. But my justice demands it, is what he said. God is a God of justice just as much as he is a God of mercy. You know, so, you know, one of the things I would encourage you to do strongly is to have a Mass offered. All right? Just, you know, you can go to your local parish and just say, I'd like to have a Mass offered for whoever, right? Have it offered for somebody in your family that's gone by. Have it offered for, you know, whoever you want. And we all have loved ones. But again, and I'll take a short pause here. When we come back, we can talk a little bit more. You can get it for free. You might say, Drew, you know, I don't have the $10, $15, $20 stipend, whatever the church charges, or, you know, I always forget. I'll give you something free right now for souls. All right? I hope they'll intercede for me for reminding you about this, okay? I love this. Here we go. Ready? RelevantRadio.com/souls. Right, Maggie? That's it. It's slash souls, if I'm correct. RelevantRadio.com/souls and sign your loved one up. They'll have the Mass offered. They'll have the rosary offered, and they're going to have the chaplet offered every day. We're going to continue this novena all the way up to the 11th, all right? And believe me, they're going to rejoice in your mercy. I'm going to take a short pause when we come back.
Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, I am traveling to the Holy Land in February with our underwriting sponsor, Nativity Pilgrimage. Information is available at relevantradio.com/Holy Land. That's relevantradio.com/Holy Land.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. It's great hanging out with you. I'm going to open the phones. I got a few moments here. And I'd love to hear your encounter with the souls in purgatory. Have you ever had one? And have they ever come to you seeking prayer? Have you prayed for somebody and then you knew that they were somehow released into heaven? I only have a few minutes, but if you want to join me, let me give you the telephone number. Call right now and get in. I'd love to hear your story. It's 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. You know, one of the things I should do, I think everybody should have a will. I think in the will you should have a specification that masses are offered for your souls. I don't have that. I should. And I think it's really important. I think it's a great thing to do. Guarantee that some masses are being offered for you. I've shared the story a million times about how I knew a girl who died in a car accident years when I was in school, years and years ago. And when I was starting to come really deep into my faith and I was praying all the time, she began to come to me in my thoughts and in my heart, even in my dreams, and sought my prayer. And I knew that she was a purgatorial soul. I didn't know her personally, you know, but she was a couple grades ahead of me. I prayed for that girl for 6 months. And without fail, every day I was reminded to pray for her, whether it was a rosary or I had went out and had masses offered. She died in a horrible car accident. But you know what it's like in high school? Who knows what you're doing in that car when you're in high school, right? Or when was the last time you were at a confession? And I think God in his mercy sometimes allows souls to come to us. I really do. I think he allows souls to visit and to seek our prayer and our intercession. I know that that was the case for Padre Pio. Who souls would come and visit him very, very frequently. After 6 months of praying for this girl, I'm telling you what, those desires to pray for her ended. The masses, I stopped, having said, because I know that she was released into heaven. And I just, I would invite you to do the same thing, you know, and I'd love to hear it from you too. I'm going to, as I said, I'll open the phones. You can get in 888-914-9149. I don't have a whole lot of time to talk here. But I would, I'd love to hear your story. I mean, do you have a deep devotion to the souls in purgatory? And if so, how did that come about? Right? How did that come about? What happened that, you know, I don't know. You began to really pray for these souls, and have you ever encountered Padre Pio? Would be visited by more souls on San Giovanni Rotondo, where he lived, than the hundreds of thousands of people who came and visited him. I mean, they'd come knocking at his door. They would appear. I know many great mystics who also prayed over and over again and were visited by countless souls. So here's how it works. It might be difficult for a lot of people to understand, but purgatory is God's mercy. And a soul there, a soul in final expiation, is redeemed by the blood of our Lord. You know, it's seen the light. It has seen God. And because of that, there is this great joy. There's a joy in knowing that one day It will be with God Almighty. Can you imagine that? See, that's part of the anguish, isn't it? Part of the anguish is you're not with God, yet you know the beauty, the majesty, the awe, the mystery that is God. One day it will be in heaven. It will, it will get back to the heaven and glimpsed upon death. And, St. Francis de Sales, he says it's true that the torments of purgatory are so great that even the most acute suffering of this life, it can't even compare to what you're going to endure in purgatory. But the interior satisfaction which is enjoyed is such that no prosperity, no contentment on earth can even equal it. St. Faustina, after glimpsing heaven and hell and purgatory, the Lord offered her an opportunity. Hey, Faustina, you can spend one day in purgatory. You go back to earth and suffer for the rest of your life, and it will not be easy to atone for, I guess, whatever her failing or sin was. She chose to come back to earth. She would have done both, but the Lord said, no, one is enough. She said that she would endure all the sufferings of all the martyrs combined if it meant moving one degree higher in heaven. Souls are in continual union with God. They're perfectly resigned to God's will, and their will is transformed into God, and they can't be hurt. They want God's will, right? They're united to it. And if paradise were to be open to them, they would precipitate themselves, if they weren't ready to be with God, into hell rather than before God with the stains of sin. That's why you have to go to confession. That's why you've got to detach from impurity, from pride, from greed, from lust, from all those things that contaminate the soul. If you don't purify yourself on this side of the veil, you don't live a life of virtue. If by God's grace you make it to purgatory, you will. Let me take a few calls. Who's up first, Maggie? Who do you want me to go to? All right, Jennifer in Austin, Texas. Jennifer, thanks for calling in.
Hey, Drew, thank you. And we love your show. So thank you for doing this. It strengthens our faith every day.
Oh, that's sweet.
I got a couple stories for you. I don't know which one to share, but I'm going to go with the most recent. So my Uncle Tom, who was also my godfather, passed away not that long ago. He wasn't very much of a church-going man, and neither are my cousins, his kids. But after he passed away, like I said, he was my godfather, so I was always praying for him. He came to me in a dream. We were in a party. Everybody from our family was there, and he opened up the front door, and everyone was really excited to see him because he had just passed away. And he went straight from the front door straight to me, threw his arms around me, and just kind of fell in my arms. And I told everybody that he needed to go, because he needed to go back to where he came from, but that he needed our prayers. But shortly this past summer, we were going on a cousin vacation, and he came back to me in my dreams. And in my dream, we were getting the car packed and ready to go on our family trip, and I was going to go see his boys.
Yep.
And he jumped in my car and kind of came along for the ride. And I just kind of thought that was him saying, I'm really excited that you're going to spend this time with your cousins and tell them to pray for me.
Wow. I love it.
And that was it.
It could be as simple as that too, Jennifer. It doesn't have to be anything dramatic, somebody knocking on your door and manifesting to you physically. I think souls reach out to us. I think they do so in dreams. I think they do so in all sorts of ways. I love that story. Are you done praying, or you still have masses offered for him?
No, we're still praying, and I'm still praying that my cousins will eventually one day find their way back to church. But in the meantime, I feel like he needs a lot of prayers. And my niece and I in our family, I feel like we have kind of like a sixth sense. So we get visited by family members all the time, which, again, we just share our stories and tell everybody to keep praying for him.
I love it. Well, thank you, Jennifer. Thanks for sharing that. And keep praying. That's the most important thing. Have masses offered. So incredibly powerful.
We sure will.
All right. God bless you.
We sure will. And thank you. Thank you. And thank you for all your prayers.
You got it. Do I have time to take another call? Terry, Donna, who's up next? Maggie May. Terry, hi. Thanks for calling from Los Angeles. You're on the air.
Yes. A few years ago, I was working as a parish secretary, and people come in and they offer masses for the souls in purgatory or their loved ones. And one evening, I had a dream. Well, one night, I had a dream that I was in my office, and I opened up my my desk drawer, and I pulled out an envelope, and the envelope was for the poor souls of purgatory. So I woke up the next morning. I didn't really think anything of it. I went into my office, and I remembered the dream, and I thought, So I opened up the drawer, and I pulled out the exact envelope that I saw in my dream. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. It's the same envelope I saw in my dream. So I opened it up, and there was a check in there for $100 for the souls in purgatory that somehow did not get deposited. And I believe it was the souls wanting their masses to be offered.
Wow. I love that story, Terry. The souls saying, hey, don't forget this. We need that. There was a priest who told me a story about some disturbance in his rectory one night. And the one room that this priest had died in, there were always these weird things happening in the room. Lots of noise, lots of disturbances. Well, they found out later there was an envelope where he had taken stipends to have masses said. They were never said. So one of the fellow priests who took over the room went and said those on his behalf. And the second he said the last mass, those disturbances stopped. I think the souls sometimes do reach out to us. Let's make sure that we pray for them.